Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, Marriage Matters. With Pope Benedict attending the World Meeting of Families in Milan this weekend, we shine the spotlight on issues affecting marriage and family life. Listen to a number of participants speaking about the value of this meeting and who describe the challenges of raising a family in their home countries. And Retrovi, a marriage lifeline. A husband and wife who are about to divorce tell us about a church program that rescued and healed their union and that of thousands of other couples whose marriages were heading for the rocks. With Pope Benedict attending the World Meeting of Families in Milan this weekend, today's programme is dedicated to exploring the institution of the family at a time when it is increasingly under threat in our secularised culture. Hundreds of thousands of people from over 140 countries are attending the five-day family meeting, and we spoke to several participants from around the world to find out more about some of the major issues affecting marriage and family life. Edmund Adamus is the Director for Marriage and Family Life at the Diocese of Westminster in London. As a married man with a toddler son, he is also able to speak at first hand about some of the practical challenges of raising a family in Britain's high-pressured society. How healthy is the institution of marriage and the family in modern day Britain with all the social and cultural pressures that there are nowadays?
Yes, it's the big question, isn't it? I mean, I think everyone is profoundly aware of the enormous breakdown in family life in Britain over the last 2-3 decades, and this is well known in the church, it's well known in society. The governments, or rather the previous Conservative parties, report on Breakdown Britain, produced by the Centre for Social Justice several years ago, spelled out pretty plainly and with solid evidence base as to the landscape we're living in terms of family dysfunction and breakdown. And more recently, the establishment of the Marriage Foundation is based on the hard experience of a High Court judge who for many, many years has seen the courts and the legal system costing an absolute fortune in the breakdown of family life. You know, it's something like to the tune of £44 billion a year to the cost of the economy. So although in one sense it's bleak, and no one can deny that, however, I think the challenges and the harsh realities of the breakdown of family life also presents us, all of us everywhere, but particularly in Britain, with the challenge to try and achieve a renaissance of marriage and family life right across the spectrum of political parties and faiths and communities. And I think at the grassroots, I think there's a real desire for that renaissance. There was a survey recently of 15 to 23-year-olds across schools and colleges, and 94% of those young people all aspired to a lifelong union of marriage and children.
Yes, it's interesting that these surveys always show the strong desire for marriage, but, you know, as you say, so many marriages nowadays do go down the path towards divorce and separation. I mean, why? Have there been some studies done on that? Because obviously understanding why this happens is going to be key to trying to improve those figures.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's why, as time goes on, the churches, and the Catholic Church in particular, is trying to identify in a very smart way, but also a very pastoral way, good, solid resources for marriage preparation. And I don't just mean looking after those who are engaged to get married and seeking to get married in the church, but marriage preparation across the life cycle, from infancy through to childhood, from adolescence through to young adulthood, and then eventually for those who are committed to get married in engagement. We're beginning to address the provision of marriage preparation in the totality of a life cycle. there's a long way to go, but there's a greater awareness of it now than there was, say, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And I think with the Year of Faith coming up and the Synod and the new evangelization, etc., and of course the great networking opportunities that the meeting in Milan will present, hopefully we'll begin to see some really sharing of concrete ideas, good ideas and good practice in the whole field of marriage preparation, because we can't really ignore anymore the fact that the social phenomena of cohabitation, contraception, abortion, which affects so many people prior to them getting married, has a huge impact on their ability to sustain a marriage. And that's really important that we own up to those and own those issues in the context of what we do for marriage preparation in a parish.
As a married man with a family, what do you find personally are the greatest challenges you face in helping to support and strengthen your own family unit?
Well, my own life of faith, recourse to prayer. As a family, my wife and I have always, from the very beginning actually, since before we got married, we take very seriously our need to pray together as a couple, aside from praying privately whenever we do, but we feel it's really important for us to come together before God as a unique pair, as a unique couple, in thanksgiving and also in intercession for our needs and our needs as a family, our needs as a couple, our needs for our role as parents. In fact, there was a phrase recently used by Archbishop Nichols in his recent pastoral letter to English and Welsh Catholics on the importance of marriage, and he used this phrase that spousal love has astonishing power. And I think one of the things I've always tried to do, I suppose as a theologian, but also as a married man and father, is to try and tap into that astonishing power. And if we can share that awareness with others, then that's what we try to do and feel that's part of our calling.
As you said there, and as I know, you are a father. Many present-day authors say raising a child has never been more challenging than in today's society. Do you agree with that, and if so, why?
I'm not so sure I do agree with that totally. I think raising children since time immemorial has always been a great challenge and will always be so. It's an enormous but awesome responsibility that God entrusts this child or children to your care and to your loving responsibility. But I do think there is a certain additional burden, shall we say, on parents today, and I think that's the growing increase in influence of the technological revolution, the internet and everything else, which is good in itself, of course, but like so many things, like television may have been in the 40s and 50s, is an invasion on the quality time of family life and potentially invades into the space that parents try to have with their children. It's not easy. Because one wants to get the balance right between allowing children access to these good things, but also, you know, claiming really important space to interact with your children and also to interact as a family, you know, mealtimes and things like this, which we can so often take them for granted. And yet many families can go a whole week without sitting around the table together. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect marriage. We all need help. We all need inspiration. And hopefully, you know, a wider availability of courses to help parents and books on parenting, particularly Christian Catholic parenting, so much the better. And the World Meeting certainly presents the opportunities to showcase those kind of things.
Right, looking at your own family, you have a son who's nearly three. What have been some of the most difficult issues you've had to face in trying to raise your child and the lessons you've had to take on board, perhaps lessons that you didn't know until you actually became a father yourself?
I think that the biggest lesson I've had to learn is the importance of making a clear distinction between work time and family time. And I have a tendency, I think like a lot of people, but particularly men perhaps, to be a bit of a workaholic, bring work home. And these days with the BlackBerry and things, you know, you do literally bring your office with you. And I've had to work hard at thinking, well, actually, no, that I switched that thing off because I'm home now. I have to be present to my son and share that time with him, which is, to be honest, when you get home from work at the end of a hard day, it's not long between you getting home, having something to eat, and getting him ready for bed, and he's in bed. But those couple of hours or whatever that one has with one's child as a father at the end of the day are, from very early on, from baby into infancy, is so essential for their later human development. You're sowing seeds for the future, and I've even begun to see the importance of that. And as he's begun to articulate his feelings and it grows better in his speech, his power of speech, actually being reprimanded by your child is quite a lesson. And somehow, you know, we say out of the mouths of babes that the voice of God comes. And it is true. I think children in their innocence, a playful innocence, when they kind of tell their parents off, is almost a reminder, in a sense, of God's voice saying, you know, maybe you just need to rethink your priorities here. And I'm grateful for that reminder. It teaches you to be humble.
So what's he been telling you off about?
Well, it might be things like, well, for example, not putting the mobile down or the BlackBerry down when he wants to show me his toys or wants me to take him out to play football or something like that. But it could also be where, let's say there may be one or two raised voices in the kitchen between myself and my wife, and he might kind of wag his finger and say, no, Daddy, you know, don't shout, no shouting. And you think, well, that's the Lord speaking to you through your own offspring. And it's a beautiful thing. But we have to be consciously aware of that all the time. Otherwise, you take it for granted, I think.
I was speaking to Edmund Adamus, Director for Marriage and Family Life at the Diocese of Westminster. Couples for Christ is an international association of lay faithful that focuses on renewing the family and defending life. Many of its members are attending the World Meeting of Families in Milan, including Irma Cuenca from the Philippines, who spoke to Vatican Radio's Mario Galgano.
It's wonderful because you learn a lot, and it's very important to really learn more about how to save the family in the world right now. We are in a group called Couples for Christ, and so our mission is to bring families back to God. And so that's why I'm here.
And what can you bring back from here? What is your hope?
My hope is to learn how we can really be able to bring back the families back to God and be able to see how we can not only save the families in the Philippines, but all over the world through our community Couples for Christ.
Another participant at the Milan meeting, who travelled a long way from home to attend the gathering, is Esther Kadunga, a married woman from Zimbabwe. She spoke to Mario Galgano about the huge sacrifices they had to make in order to be able to afford this trip, and about the difficult situation in her homeland.
We had to save for 1 year to come to Milan for the conference. It was very difficult because we've got parents, we've got children. We look after even our grandfathers and mothers, extended families. We've got even orphans in our homes. But, you know, we had to put money aside to make sure that we are here to learn about families. It's very important for us to be here.
What is the situation of families in Zimbabwe? Can young people marry?
They marry, but there's also higher rate of divorce, like what the speaker in the afternoon was talking about, because of lack of material things. It's very difficult financial. We've got a lot of orphans. The church, we really appreciate. That's why we are here, to represent our churches back home. And when we go home, we are going to talk to them about the responsibility of unity.
Mike Melly is a South African layman who is also attending the Milan meeting. He's the international coordinator of the church-sponsored Retrovi Marriage Rescue Programme. He too spoke to Mario Galgano about why he decided to come to Milan.
First of all, we've come to meet the other network with the other organisations, the other ministries in family life. But secondly, also we'd like to expand our own ministry into the rest of the world. And this is an ideal opportunity because we know that there are many delegates from many different countries.
And what is the meaning for the families, for the Christian families in the world, to have a meeting where they can meet people from all over the world?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic that we can do that and share many different ideas. You know, family life around the world is under attack by the secular society, and there are many things that we need to do to counteract that. And to do that and to achieve our objectives, the objectives of the church, the united family, we all need to be working together, and we cannot work together if we don't speak to each other. So this provides that ideal kind of opportunity where we can meet each other and open those conversations, those dialogues with each other to do that.
What is your hope? What will you bring with you after this experience here in Milan?
Well, I think ideally, if I had to be quite selfish about it, we would love for other countries, for family life offices in other dioceses in various countries, to open the program in their countries, because we all know what the divorce rate is around the world, and this is one very good way of fighting that divorce rate and uniting the family again afterwards.
But what can be done to rescue a marriage that is heading for the rocks? The Retrovi programme shows why divorce is not the only option, even in seemingly hopeless cases. Let's find out more by listening to this special report.
I just call to say I love you.
In the US, over 40% of marriages end in divorce. That's the depressing reality borne out by the statistics, and it's an indication of the daunting challenges many couples face in trying to keep their marriage afloat in today's secularized and high-pressured society. Successful marriages, however, don't work on autopilot, at least not for long. They need care and nurturing, and it's especially vital that the spouses keep the lines of communication open between the two of them. How many husbands or wives argue frequently or feel frustrated, hurt or angry with their spouse? It's in situations like this that all too many couples believe that the only solution is to go down the path towards separation and divorce. But if married couples in crisis know where to look, help is at hand, and that help can often save a marriage. Originating in Canada, Retrovi is a program offered by Catholic couples and a priest to couples with marriage problems. Thousands of couples headed for cold, unloving relationships or divorce have successfully overcome their marital problems by attending a Retrovi program held in various countries throughout the world. Frank and Julie Laboda and Father Watt Bracken are American, and all three of them are volunteer international coordinators for Retrovi. Frank and Julie are married with four children and live in Madison, Wisconsin. They were pointed in the direction of Retrovi at a time when their own marriage was on the rocks and they were on the brink of divorce. They spoke to me about some of the reasons why their marriage was failing and how attending a Retrovi program helped to renew and heal it.
We had several problems, basically a severe miscommunication and working opposite schedules.
So the communication issues led to us living quite separate lives. And as we worked different shifts in our work schedule, she was working days and I was working nights. And I began an affair with a woman I worked with and spent 9 months in an extramarital affair with a woman from work. Our marriage obviously went further downhill after that. And we were separated twice and 5 weeks away from our final divorce when we found Retrovi.
And how did you find it?
My mother-in-law, Julie's mother, gave her an article from a magazine in the States about the program, and I called right away and registered us for the weekend experience.
And, was it really quite dramatic, the turnaround?
It was extremely dramatic for me, but I still had a lot of fear and panic and trust issues. But it gave us hope, because the couples that presented the weekend, the couples on the team, had been through misery even worse than ours. And we thought, if they can make it, maybe there's some hope for us too. And it was very grace-filled. You could feel the presence of God. And the team priest was there as well. And we wondered what the priest would have to say about marriage. But it was very grace-filled. And I was overcome with the hope that they offered.
And weren't the majority of the people on this program Catholic? Because you say you're open to all religions or none, or those who have none.
Yes, I think on our weekend, a great majority of them were. But you're right that couples that come to Retrovi come with all different types of faith or no faith whatsoever.
Now, the program consists, I gather, of a weekend experience, and then this is followed up with 6 to 12 week post-weekend sessions over a period of 3 months. Did you already find after that first weekend that you were discovering where things were going wrong or where to pick up the pieces, or was it more of a question of learning to trust?
I think I knew where things were going wrong before, but I was always pointing a finger of blame at Frank. So the weekend helped me realize what role I played in the deterioration of our marriage. And then the follow-up sessions were integral in change, because the post-sessions offered a chance to look more deeply at specific issues like trust, conflict, sex, forgiveness. And so that was really where the bulk of the change occurred throughout the post-sessions as well.
I think for me, the weekend showed me what could be right about our relationship again and reminded me of the reasons that I fell in love with Julie in the first place and why we were together from the start of our relationship, rather than showing me what had been wrong, because you could see that in our behavior with one another on a daily basis. But being able to talk with Julie and communicate with her on a whole different level over the course of that weekend and then the post sessions really showed me what was right about our relationship again.
Is it a prerequisite that for people who go to Retrouvai that both couples want to save their marriage? Because presumably if somebody's already given up on it, then it's hopeless.
Well, in our case, Julie had given up. This was her way of checking this one last thing off of her list of things to do before the divorce was final. So no, I don't think that both couples have to be committed to saving their relationship. As long as they're committed to spending the time on the weekend together, it could change their relationship just by being there together.
Each couple is asked to participate fully in the entire weekend and the follow-up sessions. But we would be lying if everyone who came said, yes, I'm 100% committed to making this marriage work. But over the course of the weekend, most of them change their minds and decide, yes, this is worth saving.
Father Watt Bracken is a Catholic priest from Chicago. And along with Frank and Julie, he gave his viewpoint about the strengths of the Retrouvai program.
Before I go into what happens on the weekend, I think what is key, and Frank and Julie have already mentioned this, is the hope that is given on the weekend. The couples come there with a sense of hopelessness with regard to their own relationship. By listening to the stories of other couples, they recognize the fact that other people can go through difficulties as well and come out of those difficulties on the other side with a great deal of hope for their relationship. I think that is the beauty of a peer ministry. Peer ministry allows couples to tell their story of their misery, their story of their hopelessness, and how they moved to a sense of hope. And this is done simply on the weekend by three different couples and a priest giving a series of presentations. And the idea is that the couple gives a presentation with a priest. After that, the couples who are participating in the weekend are given a question to reflect. They do some writing, they come together, and then they share with regard to this. And through these series of presentations during the course of the weekend, couples are able to communicate with themselves much more deeply. What we tell the couples on a Friday night is we are not there to solve their problems or to work on their problems. What we do is work on their communication so that once they begin to relate to each other and to communicate to each other, then they begin to solve their own problems on how they choose to solve them.
Now, I don't know whether you keep statistics, but do you happen to know roughly what percentage of the couples who come to Retrouvai do manage to save their marriage? If you have any idea at all on how successful this program is?
We've seen somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% to 80% of marriages at least continue on. Successful marriages, probably half. But they stay in their relationship up to 80% of the time.
That's quite a high percentage.
It's a very high percentage. And it's an experience that we see over and over on the weekend from Friday night to Sunday.
I just call to say I love you.
But what real-life anecdotes do they have of couples attending the Retrouvai program whose marriage seemed doomed to collapse?
I can give you a story about a couple that we know. They were having difficulty. Of course, that's why they were on the weekend originally. They would do well after one presentation in their dialogue, and then they'd go back after another presentation, and they would find themselves arguing again. So on Saturday night, after the first presentation, they seemed to be doing well. After the second presentation, they started an argument, and they figured that it was no use. So they packed their bags, and they decided to leave the retreat house. Well, as happened, as they were driving out of the retreat grounds, there was a chain across the gate of the retreat house. And so there was no way that they could leave the grounds. So they turned around, they unpacked their bags, brought them back in to the retreat house. And long story short, I think this is God's sense of humor by having that chain across the gate, because this couple then continued to work on their relationship, not only on that weekend, but they themselves became very involved with Retrovi after this, to the point where they have given a good number of weekends themselves and a good number of presentations to help heal other marriages.
Do you know of any other particular anecdotes that stick in your mind?
Several, including us, but another couple that when we were presenting team on a weekend, this couple too was up and down and finally got in a huge argument and decided to drive home, and they had about an hour drive. They got about 10 minutes from home and decided it would be harder to tell their kids that they gave up than it would be to turn around with their heads hanging and walk back in the door of Retrovi. So they turned their car around and they came back and finished the weekend and completed all of the follow-up sessions.
And as far as you know, they're still
together?
And
as far as we know, they're still together and doing well.
Now, coming back, perhaps, shall we say, to the general state of marriage in society today, as you all know, if particularly in Western countries, the rate of divorce is incredibly high. Why is that? Why do people give up so quickly, do you think? What more could the church and other bodies be doing to try to bring down that rate of divorce, of separation between couples?
It has a lot to do with the family. John Paul the Great was right when he said, as the family goes, so goes the world. And so Retrovi in the church, I think, is certainly moving in the right direction to curb the divorce rate.
I just think it's so hard, especially in Western countries. We're so bent on instant gratification. And if it's not what I want, I'm going to take it back or return it because it doesn't fit right. And that's carried right over into our relationships. It's not making me happy, so I'm going to return it and start over. And it's greener grass on the other side of the fence. And in most cases, in mine for sure, you know, in being involved in a 9-month relationship with another woman, it's no different. The problems are the same. You carry the problems with you wherever you go. So you can choose to stay in the relationship you started with and fight for your marriage and work on change in your own personal life and in your relationship, or you can continue to throw them away and start with a new one. And especially in the United States, we're at the point where our society says it's just easier to toss it aside.
That was Frank Laboda, and you also heard the voice of his wife, Julie, and of Father Watt Bracken, speaking about the marriage rescue program called Retrovi.
I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English program. But we hope you have enjoyed listening to us. We'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And don't forget, you can always find our programmes at the click of a mouse on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.